Well, one of the great subjects of our day and time is on a screen in front of you. It's one of the great questions we face as a nation and as a people. And it's being asked over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that is, can I know right from wrong? And it's interesting that Isaiah said that my ways are higher than your ways. Talking about God, the prophet Isaiah. Your thoughts are different than my thoughts. You know, the messages continue to come to us, mostly through media, that there is something referred to in our culture as it is politically incorrect to say that something is wrong. Or maybe that somebody is wrong. Or some event is wrong. And obviously that is what we refer to today as either moral relativism or humanism or modernism or even postmodernism. To look at even a question like that and have to even ask the question, is there such a thing as right and wrong? And here's the popular American culture today. Here it is, three words. Follow your heart. I mean, that's where it is in modern culture today. You know what that reminds me of? A guy by the name of Saul, who we refer to later as the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you what he said in Acts 23, verse 1. He said, I have lived before God in all good conscience before this day. You know what Saul said he was doing? Saul said that he had been following his heart. He said, I've just been following my heart. You know, I thought this was the right thing to do. I thought it was good to take Christians and persecute them and throw them into prison. I thought that was a good thing. Until I learned better. Until I discovered that wasn't really a good thing. That was a bad thing. Well, I want us to know that it all begins with choice. Choosing right from wrong. And I want to take you to three or four examples of that today and let the Bible be its own best interpreter. And let's start in Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. And as you look at this psalm, what you're going to see and what we're going to find is we're going to find contrast in Psalm 1. And the contrast is one word, choice. Follow along with me. It's just six verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not prosper, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now look at the contrast beginning in 4. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, all you have to do is really look at verse 6 and you see the contrast. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly is going to perish. I mean, what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 1 is this. Either God is or God is not. That there are those who are ungodly. There are those who are sinners. There are those who sit in the seat of the scornful. He said it's a choice. He said, but those who are in with the law of the Lord, he says, therein does he meditate on that law day and night. And as a matter of fact, it brings forth fruit. And he finds even some prosperity in so doing that. Do you see the choice? The choice is simply between right and wrong. Can we know right from wrong? According to Psalm chapter 1, there are the godly and there are the ungodly. There are the righteous and there are the wicked. There are the good and there are the evil. It really is that simple. Right and wrong then would be based in God the Father. I want to take you back to Deuteronomy. Take your Bibles and follow with me in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to read 11 through 20, but I want to break it up, 11 through 14 and 15 through 20. And I want you to know that right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error is based in God as our Father. So go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Well, about 6,000 years ago, here's what was read. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Watch 14. But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now watch what he says about choice. Watch what he says about decision in the next five or six verses. I've said before you today, life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, so that you can live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to prosper. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and length of your days, and so that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, in a casual look at Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20, right and wrong and choice is based in God. We are free moral agents to determine right from wrong and good from evil. And so it's right here in our Bibles. Notice the choices that Moses gave over and over and over again. And as we go to another book, just not far from this one, and the conclusion of this book in Joshua, chapter 24, as Joshua took up the mantle from Moses, and we get to the end of his days, basically, and he talks about being the head of his own household. And this would be a charge to heads of households in this room. Joshua says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now watch 15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose, there it is again, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But, here it is again, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Before I get to what did Jesus say, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 7 on that, let's talk a little bit about right from wrong. Isn't it amazing that the pundits who tell us that it is politically incorrect to say that something is wrong are very inconsistent? I speak mainly and mostly of those in positions of the educationally elite, or those who follow the law, even the law. There are those who will tell you that it is okay for two men to marry. But yet it is not okay for somebody to walk up behind a deputy and go, pow, 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 and shoot him down in a cowardly fashion. They say that's wrong. But yet you can justify other behaviors. You see, to be consistent, we have to realize that there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And see, we know that because the Scripture tells us that is all based in God. And that is based in the system that God has in place. And one of the reasons why that's true is if you do something wrong, God wants to build a hedge around you and protect you. That's why there's a fence around you. Because God doesn't want anything to harm you or to hurt you. And so the things that are happening in our society that are politically incorrect to speak against are many of the things that God has said, I'm trying to protect you. Who's going to speak for that fetus? Who's going to be the spokesman for that fetus? You see, hopefully, that mother and that father will say, we're going to protect that unborn. We're going to make sure that 9 months, 8 or 9 months in that sack, that it is protected. So see, there are things that are right and things that are wrong. And I mentioned to you last Sunday that we were going to talk a little bit about the T word. And this is what, from preschool through college, this is what our young people, this is a message our young people are getting. Just be tolerant of the beliefs and the behaviors of other people. Now, don't say anything bad against it. We're going to have gender-neutral bathrooms at Western, right, Andy? And you know, so don't say anything about it. I mean, are you troubled today that one of the greatest organizations ever in our country, the Boy Scouts of America, are now allowing these male leaders to openly be homosexual? What are they going to do with those boys? Think about it. Stop and consider it. And yet they caved in to the pressure of culture. That's what they caved to. But if you look at the basis, they've really said that what God says doesn't really matter. That, you know, it's politically incorrect to say anything against that. But yet we know, as the people of God, that it's based in choice. And so I want to kind of let us see what Jesus said. And I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter 7. These three different segments on choice. And all of these are about choice. Jesus said, I want you to know there is a broad way. And I want you to look at this. A broad way which leads to a certain thing. And he says it leads to destruction. And incidentally, he says most people, the majority of people are on that road. The majority of people are on that road. And we know that because of verse 14. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that seek it. Few there be that pursue it. Few there be that walk it. Why? Because of choice. A person chooses the broad way or they choose the narrow way. Now he says there's going to be some judgment day surprises in verse 21. Not everyone who claims lordship, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And many people are going to profess many different things. Look, I've done this and I've done that, and I'm paraphrasing some of this. And then in verse 23, Jesus said, wait a minute, I really didn't know you because you didn't know me. And since you didn't know me, you're a worker of iniquity. And then he goes into two builders. We know this story from Family Vacation Bible School. We know this from getting in a nursery class. And we know this from 2 and 3. We know this from childhood. That those who build on the sand, when the storms hit, it's not gonna hold up. It can't hold up. And the reason why it doesn't hold up, because it doesn't have any foundation. I didn't say anything about this in class, and I should have, and I'm grieved over this today. What happened Dominica this week when Erica came through there and just dumped 15 inches of rain and killed 20 of its citizens and 31 other people are missing. And many of the milestones I remember in my head from being on campaigns there, I saw a building that I saw many, many times just picked up and washed away. And I want to tell you something. I brought that up because if your foundation is not built on something bigger than you are, and if your foundation is not built on something called the Rock of Ages, and if your foundation is not built on Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. When the storms of life come and beat upon you, it will fall. Amen? We got to understand that. That's what Jesus said. And so we have to understand that there are those choices we make. We're either going to choose to build on the rock or the sand. And that's on us. That's on us. Well, here we are. Here we are. There is a standard. And the standard is the book that you held up, or the iPhone that you held up, or the iPad, or whatever you have today that's got the Bible on it. That's a standard. You see, Paul told Timothy, from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Then he goes on to say what the Scripture is useful and profitable for. And he says, we can be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work if we understand that there is a standard. You know, I want our children, I want our adolescents, I want our teenagers, I want them to hear this message loud and clear. There is a standard to live by and to go by. Regardless of what you hear about being tolerant and allowing your friends to choose abortion or homosexuality or whatever the choice is, there's a standard. And if we're going to get our country back, we've got to get the standard back in people's lives. Amen? Grab your songbook. The lesson's over. The sermon is history. I want to tell you real quick, about 60 or 90 seconds, and don't time this, but because it could be longer than that. Wednesday night, I spoke in Benton, Kentucky. If you remember Mark Ray, Mark was here back in June, spoke here, and we traded out. I went there the last Wednesday in August. And like we always do, we had a hymn of inspiration and encouragement. We had an invitation song. And lo and behold, if there wasn't an aged lady five rows back, I found out later who was 90 years of age. She got her walking cane out, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this elderly, older lady coming forward. And there were elders flanked on each side of me because I didn't know the people. I didn't know anything about any of them. But here was this nonagenarian, 90 years old with a cane. And she come forward and she sat down there, and I saw one of the elders go over there and talk to her. And here was her request at 90 years old. Watch this now. She said, I have come forward tonight to pray for my family members who do not know the Lord. I ask you this question. At 90 years old, does she know right from wrong? Does she still want her great-grandchildren to know the Lord? Does she want her grandchildren to know the Lord? Does she want her children to know Jesus? At 90, she knows right from wrong. You can know right from wrong. Even in this room today, you can know whether you're in a saved state or not. You can know because of either the decisions you have made or the decision you haven't made. Maybe the decision you haven't made to put the Lord on in baptism and reach the blood of Jesus and rise up to walk in newness of life. You know, if you stay in that condition, Jesus says, I never knew you. And so as a dying man to dying men and women in this room, I say, come to Jesus. You may say, I'm a Christian, but I haven't lived up to my calling as a Christian. You may not need a cane, but you might someday. But maybe you need to say, I haven't been teaching these principles in my life. Or maybe there's somebody in this room who has a conflict and you know it's ongoing in your life and you need prayer. And I'm so thankful to God that she didn't have so much pride that she wouldn't come before that large number of people on Wednesday night and say what her need was. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Will you answer the call, Shed, as we stand together and sing our song?